This is Ed. Welcome to the VoyageCast, where we discuss all things wellness, from interviews to tips and tools. We're here to inspire and help you grow. In this episode, we have the pleasure of interviewing JC, a talented nutritionist, and you'll see what I mean as you listen to this interview. She shares her story of overcoming her own personal health challenges and how her struggles paved the way for her career. So join us as we dive into the world of nutrition and explore how the food we eat affects every aspect of our lives, from personal to professional.
Thanks for having me on here. I'm honored to be asked to be on this podcast and share my story. So my story started when I was about 30. I moved to Fort Lauderdale, and within 2 weeks of living there, I started to get eczema on my arms, worked its way down both arms, up my neck, all the way up to my eyebrows, just covered in eczema. And I couldn't figure out why. I couldn't figure out where this had came from. It came out of nowhere. And I didn't want to go to the doctor to get a bunch of steroid creams and just cover it topically. So I thought, okay, well, this has got to be something I'm doing. So I decided to start reading about nutrition and trying to figure out what I was putting in my body that might have been causing it. I went completely vegan, and it still didn't go away. However, through that process, I had learned a lot about what nutrition was doing in my body, how it becomes our blood, our tissues, our organs. It creates us and keeps us going. And I decided that I wanted to share that. And I created a Facebook group where I was sharing it with just close friends and family. And then through that, they started inviting people, and they started inviting people, and the group grew to like 80 people within like 3 months. And I was like, oh, geez, well, I better get accredited or something, because I'm sharing information about people's health and their bodies. Meanwhile, I'm still covered in eczema. Nothing's changing. But I decided to go back to school, and I went to school for health coaching, learned about coaching people, but not really the science behind what we're eating. And graduated, started my business, and was going to like meet up events to talk about my business. And I had a lady come up to me and say, let me see what I can do about your arms. And I'm thinking, it's been 2.5 years. I've tried every ointment, tried every diet. Nothing's changing. And I did what's called biofeedback or bioenergetic testing to find out where some stressors were in my body and where some imbalances were, both nutritionally and toxicity-wise. And we discovered...
Can you share what that is?
Sure. So biofeedback is a way to send in, through attaching some sensors to your body, and send in a frequency of a balanced thing, like an organ or a balanced food, and find out where there might be stress in the body. So when we talk about biofeedback, it's bio meaning your body, biology, and the feedback loop that we get through the testing. So what it was is you attach sensors to your body that it's going to send in those frequency of balanced things, and then my body sent out the imbalances. And what we discovered through that process is that I had 4 parasites in my gut.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And the way parasites, it is wild. And crazy. And what's interesting about that is 80% of the people that I now do biofeedback, 80% of the people that I test have parasites. We just don't know it. Or we think that it's not affecting us, and somehow it is. But for me specifically, what had happened was the way that parasites attach themselves to your gut lining, they create little holes. And those holes eventually just become leaky gut for you. So every time I was eating, food was getting into my bloodstream sooner than it was digested. So every time I ate, my body thought of it as a foreign invader.
So it created a lot of inflammatory responses in your body. Is that correct?
Correct. An immune response. So the immune response was showing up on my skin. So that was the way my body told me, hey, something's going on in your gut, was through my skin. But I didn't know enough about this to be like, oh, there must be something wrong with my gut by just like itching my arm.
And to your point earlier, that if you would have went to a doctor, we would have just treated the eczema, put some creams on it. But the issue of what was going on in your body would have never been addressed.
Correct.
That's a great point.
Correct. And that's where a lot of folks that suffer from skin conditions of themselves think that it's a lifetime thing, because we're just putting on a Band-Aid rather than solving the actual issue. And 99% of the time, our skin conditions are coming from our gut. So once we figured out the parasites, you know, which parasites they were, which we can do through biofeedbacks, which is wonderful.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes. We knew how to kill them because there are certain things that kill certain ones. And the way you do it is through an herbal, kind of an herbal remedy. And there's some nutrition involved, which is garlic, lime, and cilantro are parasite killers big time.
So like salsa.
I was going to say, that sounds great for me.
Yeah. That has all, I'll get on board.
There you go.
So I'm curious, what other things do you see in your clients that come from those parasites?
So a lot of times it's a lot of gut issues as far as like we, you know, bloating or diarrhea or, you know, a lot of digestive distress that happens that we just think it's like something I ate. Right. But instead, it's the parasite getting aggravated by something or the parasite being hungry and having us crave certain foods.
How big are these parasites?
Well, that's a great question. So a lot of people get freaked out thinking, oh, my gosh, there's these worms in us. But it is a lot of parasites are microscopic, but some of them aren't. And some of them look literally like earthworms.
And oh my gosh.
The way you're killing them is actually you're starving them out because they can't survive garlic. They can't survive lime. They can't survive cilantro. So they get starved out and they detach. And when they detach, they just come out through our bowel movements.
How does somebody get a parasite?
Oh, there's so many ways. So one of the most common ways is through our water. And, you know, we're blessed enough in the U.S. where our water is treated, it's filtered, we're drinking good water. But let's say we're going to somewhere like Mexico or Costa Rica where we might not know the quality of the water. That's where we can take that on. That's one way. Another way is through undercooked food, undercooked or raw fish, our soil that are playing in a lake, anything like that. Here's the biggest thing to think about, though, with this is if your immune system is in a great place, you will fight off that parasite. So if you come into contact with a parasite and your immune system's in ship shape, it recognizes it a foreign invader, fights it off. Whereas if you aren't in a great place with your immune system and let's say, you know, not eating a great diet or, you know, alcohol or some sort of drug is involved, your immune system's compromised quite a bit. And so you come into contact with these and you just take them on. And then the thing that you're trying to fight the most is getting worse and worse and worse just by what you're putting in your body every day.
That's rad. Do you see any mental health issues come from your clients that are suffering from parasites?
Yeah, and parasites is just one piece of it, right? So yes, there can be, when our gut is upset, our mind is upset. That's the simplest way to put it. If there's a connection that's happening, we talked about biofeedback being a loop of like we're sending in things and we're getting it back. It's the same thing. We're putting stuff in our body. It's going everywhere, right? It's contributing to all of our health or homeostasis. But if there's a disconnect there because we're feeding ourselves inflammatory foods or we're eating a lot of food that's not contributing to health, We can have that loop not be working optimally for us where our brain isn't getting foods that promote serotonin production or depletes our serotonin production. So we can have, you know, mental illness type things that are just strictly from the food we're eating. If we're not eating fats because we're on a low fat diet or we're choosing to eat more of a carbohydrate diet, we're not getting the fat that our brains need. And guess what? It's going to act out to get your attention.
Oh, wow. What would that look like?
So when we think of the brain, we also want to think of the nervous system, right? So if our nervous system is at all stressed in any way, it's going to send out stressors. So that can look like a behavioral change, a personality change. It can look like a migraine. It can look like overreacting.
Irritability. Attention.
Over-emotional. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so what we need to address is how do we get to that grounded space again so that we can ground our nervous system and have more balanced reactions? Because we're always going to have stuff coming at us. That's not going to stop, right? So we have to learn to manage our reaction inside. And the only way we can do that is by having a calm and grounded nervous system.
That makes tons of sense. So going back, you said a big part of your story was you got these parasites, you figured that out, and what happened next for you?
Yeah, great question. So from there, I did a protocol where I was, you know, I changed up my nutrition dramatically because what had happened, because I had had the parasites for 2.5 years, they were growing, and when they grow, they eat more. And so my nutrition, I was fatigued all the time and so stressed that I would react. I was very irritable. And I had to change up my diet so much to where I was only feeding myself food that was promoting health, of course, but like no grains, no sugar, no alcohol, nothing. Anything I ate had to be just straight up like a protein or a fat. And with that, so then I did some herbals that help kill off the parasites. And through that process, it was a 6-week protocol and I passed 2 of the parasites.
Sounds fun.
Lovely. Wow. Yep. That's always fun. You know, and at first, I'll be honest, I didn't believe them. They told me this and I was like, yeah, right. That's not true. But then they said 3, I would start to see something, and I did. And then I saw, you know, because when parasites come out, they look, or when they come out first, they die off the eggs, and the eggs look like rice. And so I started to see that.
Oh my gosh.
And then I started to see the actual parasite. And then I was like, holy smokes, this stuff works.
I mean, I believe it, because you think about when I adopted my puppy, she had multiple fecal worms, and yes. I saw her pass them. Yes. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only one way out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I don't know if I'm the only one perseverating on, do I have parasites?
I know.
Like, I went to El Salvador this last summer, mm-hmm. yeah. and I got sick.
Yes.
Bad. Yeah. I called it Montezuma's Revenge. It
right.
was like ruined my whole trip. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that too, of how many people just label it the Montezuma's Revenge, where this might be sitting in you. I went to Nicaragua in 2012. We all got sick. So I'm thinking the same thing, Matt.
Yeah. That's weird. My thoughts really went to, like, you've had these parasites with you for so long. You know, when they came out, like, were you sad? Did you miss them? Did they have names? Did
You're
you
the
keep
host.
Them as pets?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't really sure, like, what's next? I
mean, right.
you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Not so, anywhere to really go with that.
Well, you said you did pass 2. So then what was your next process?
So then we did another test just to see measurable results and saw that there were still 2 left. And so I did another protocol similar to on the nutrition side, and then so some different herbal remedies to help pass the other 2. The other 2, pretty amazing. I think the 1 was the one that was causing most of the havoc, because that was one that you see.
Wow.
And you saw all of its larvae attached to it and everything.
So. What did you notice in your experience once you were on the other end of this?
Amazing difference. So, and I might be biased just because of this, but this, you know, so after that, my third scan basically, or my third biofeedback session, showed where I needed to eat. All the nutrition I was missing, everything that my body was lacking came up, and it was just like eat, 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 eat. So once I did that and really focused on my just nutrition for 6 weeks, I felt my eczema went away completely.
Wow.
It hasn't come back since 2013. And I just felt good. Like, I felt in my body again. I felt like I could manage stress. I could manage anything that was coming at me. I also felt clarity. And I think that is a big piece of, we talked about mental illness a little earlier and mental health, like clarity and not having brain fog changes your life altogether.
Because the parasites ultimately are feeding on the nutrition that you'd otherwise absorb.
Exactly.
So you can get the macronutrients and maybe gain weight or not be, you know, health, like you're still going to have some energy, but those little parasites are taking all the key nutrients.
Right.
Is that accurate?
That's completely accurate. They're eating your food and you think you're, you know, eating and it's going to you, and it's not. It's going to these parasites. And, you know, when they are, the digestive process starts with our eyes when we see our food, right? And then we chew it, and then it goes into our stomach and the rest of the digestive process. When we see it with our eyes, they get activated and it's like this, okay, it's feeding time. So they get really excited. So
it's conditioning. Pavlov's conditioning, right?
Yep. Yeah. So then not only that, you're eating so much more.
Oh,
and
wow.
So you might do the weight gain piece too, because you're, you know, there's a lot to go with, like the comfort side of things, right? So if we're not feeling totally great, we're going to go lean towards comfort food too. And so when we do that, we're spiking our blood sugar, eating foods that create weight gain. So that was a big piece of my process too.
So when you're talking about assessing somebody, and maybe just for the general listener here, are there some things that people can pay attention to that might indicate that they have a parasite, or that they need to get checked out?
Yeah. And you know, as gross as it might sound, like one of the biggest thing is paying attention to your bowel movements. And what I mean by that is if you, you know, have a bowel movement and it looks like the food you just ate, like it hasn't been processed, it just went in and came out, then yeah, there's probably an issue there. You know, there's probably something going on that's imbalanced in your gut. So I would say starting there. Another thing would be is if you do, you know, a lot of the clients that come to me say, I look like I'm eight months pregnant when I go to sleep because I'm just so bloated at the end of the day. And it's like, well, there's got to be something else going on there throughout the day that's causing that. And actually, generally, what that is like this growing piece that happens because they've been fed all day. And this is just one piece of it, right? So, and we're kind of diving into the parasite side of things, but there's so much more that goes into, you know, optimal digestion and optimal health that plays a role in our mental health.
Sorry to interrupt. To get more information on wellness services in the Denver metro area, please visit the Voyages Wellness Group website at vwell.group. That's VWELL.group. Now, back to your regularly scheduled program.
Oh, thank God.
And so that's how your story played out, right? I mean, it started with the parasites, and then it goes into nutrition, it sounds like. And then what came next?
Yeah, so what happened from there is because I had suffered for the 2.5 years with the skin condition and thought it was my forever, right? So then once I saw the clarity there and that it could be helped, I wanted to tell the world. And I was like, okay, everybody needs to know that they do not need to. And I literally started with just skin stuff because I thought that's where I'm going to head with this, right? And from there, I started to do biofeedback in my office and started that whole process where every person that came to me had to go through a biofeedback test for me to see their health at a cellular level before I could work with them. Because it's, you know, the old saying of throwing something at the wall to see if it sticks. We don't want to do that with your health, right? We don't want to, we just like prescriptions and that type of thing. We don't want to just throw something at it to see if it works. We want to take and look at your health at a cellular level and then work from there to get you towards your goals or get you to optimal health. And so I started my business that way. And so every client that comes to me has to go through that testing. And I've just built from there.
I'm sure you've seen such a difference in your work prior to doing the biofeedback. And then once you were doing the biofeedback, how did that change your experiences with your clients and maybe the feedback that you got from your clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when originally, you know, when you think of working with a nutritionist, you think weight loss. I think that's the main component. I'm going to go to someone, they're going to tell me how to lose weight. Right. And I think when I, you know, transitioned the way I was thinking about it to looking at someone's cellular health and then building from there, it was like you can help somebody on such a deeper layer than just weight loss, because a lot of times weight loss is a vanity thing. Right. Or they just want to feel good in their clothes, which is valid. I get that. But it's about, you know, how are we helping the whole body and not just the vanity piece and the health of just extra pounds on our body.
Well, and also if people are only going to a nutritionist to lose weight, they're going to miss a lot of the things that's actually going on in their bodies, all the gut health, what you were talking about earlier about the brain health and how the brain is craving fat to function correctly. We're going to miss a lot of that.
That's right. Yep. And, you know, through this testing, we're able to see the hormonal imbalances that happen. And hormones are, you know, our brain and hormones go work together, obviously. And that's such a big component of what is happening in our bodies all the time. So let's say we test somebody and they come back with high cortisol, low melatonin, and low GABA, right? So with those specific hormones, they're not sleeping. They have no energy. They are very reactive. That is, like, I could pick that out just by looking at someone's results without them telling me.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, it's like if we were just focusing on weight loss, how would we know anything about the hormones? Mm-hmm. And, like, we're up against cortisol all day to fight
weight loss. I must feel like when you approach nutrition the way that you're doing it, someone will lose weight loss from just being so much healthier, right? Like, your brain's working the way it's supposed to be working. Your gut's working the way it's supposed to be working, so...
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And so in my office, I actually don't even use the word weight loss, and I won't let my clients use it either. It's weight management.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you lose something, you always want to find it, right? So we don't want that. We don't want to find it again.
Yeah.
Right. But it's more than that. The weight management piece is, someone might come to me for weight loss, but what it is as we work together, the side effect's going to be weight loss because we're going to work on optimizing their health.
When you first started sharing, you said that your story started when you were 30.
Yes.
And I don't know if this was on the recording or off, but you said you actually realized that your story started earlier.
Absolutely.
I would love to hear about that.
Yeah, this is where we're gonna go deep, guys. So, I thought that my story had started at 30, and I realized later on, actually a couple years ago, that it started way before that. I grew up in the Midwest, and when you grow up in the Midwest, you eat to eat. Like, food is there, and it's great, and every celebration is food, and everything we do is around food. And that's wonderful, until it's not, right? And so I think, for me, I enjoyed food. All of our celebrations and everything around family was with food. But what I didn't realize was happening is I might have these really wonderful times with my family and my friends where we're eating, and then afterwards, I'm depressed. Why would that be? Why would I be depressed after something like that? That doesn't make sense. Like, it should be the family thing that was fun. But instead, what was happening is the food that I was mostly eating was something that was spiking my blood sugar all the time. So I would have this wonderful, meal or whatever. Then the next day I would be depressed. And what was happening is my blood sugar was rising and then crashing. And I was known as that hangry girl. Like, get me food now. Don't even talk to me. I need that now. And what is that? That's not a behavior of a balanced person, right? If you have a balanced diet, I should say, or like you're eating food that doesn't spike your blood sugar, you will always have a grounded response to food, right?
How did you, or what did you make meaning when you were that adolescent girl not understanding what was happening to your body?
I just thought I was the hangry girl, and that was funny. It was a joke, right? So for me, it was the joke that JC got hangry. But instead, what ended up happening is I got on antidepressants. And that is the start of that, what I think is my story, because I got myself into a space where I was, I would lay in bed all day or lay on the couch all day, and the phone would ring and I would cry. Because I couldn't figure out why it was so much for me to get up to get the phone, right? And it's not that I was eating this crazy, horrible diet. It was that I wasn't eating correctly. So I was on the antidepressants for 10 years, but still eating that way, yeah. Right? So that doesn't make any sense either now. But at the time, it was like, oh, I just take this and I'll be fine, right? But instead, I just continued to be depressed and taking an antidepressant. And what happened was when I turned 30, along with the eczema, I decided like, oh, it must be the antidepressants that are causing this. I need to get off antidepressants. So I went to this doctor, and amazingly enough, this doctor in Fort Lauderdale said, the only way I will help you get off these antidepressants is if you change your diet. And I said, what? What? And he goes, it's the food you're eating that is creating these ups and downs for you. So you need to change that before I will help you get off anything.
What a blessing.
I know. And I want to find that doctor again and be like, you have no idea, how much you changed my life. But that piece of it in and of itself, because I changed my diet, he helped me within 6 months get off antidepressants. And I haven't been on them since. And I haven't had the laying in bed and crying or laying on the couch and crying because the phone was ringing since I was 30,
I imagine your story can impact so many people listening and so many people that you work with, because so often we're feeling so down and so low and we just don't understand why. And we're filling our bodies with these medications and it's still just not working.
Right. And a lot of times it's more, mm-hmm. more medications, yep. bigger dosages.
A different one. Now let's take two. Let's pair it with this one.
Right. Yeah, and that's a lot what everybody runs into. And we were taught growing up is you just go to the doctor to get fixed. But it's so important now that we start taking our health into our own hands and really explore other options that are not just, okay, doctor, pharmaceutical, we're good.
You know what the most fascinating part of it for me is that it takes science and applies it to how we eat for optimal nutrition, for optimal wellness, for ultimate healing of our bodies as well, right? Because when we give our bodies what they need, then they can actually perform. They can fight off infection. You can prolong, your youthfulness and your ability to compete at sports or stay mobile and active. So many components of optimal eating impact our health, not right. just our mental health, but our physical health, and I presume our spiritual health, relational health.
Absolutely.
What you said, Matt, makes a lot of sense to me, that we need to feed our bodies what we need. And I know for me, sometimes I'm like, what is that? I don't know what that is. And I imagine you run into that a lot, that people might have the desire to fuel their bodies in productive ways, but where do they even start?
Right. Yeah. And I think that is that's a huge piece of it, right? Because I think a lot of us, or most of us growing up, were taught the whole grains and the dairy. And
the pyramid. How wrong is the pyramid?
The pyramid. My gosh. I am just, it's very frustrating for me. I have a new pyramid that I hand out to all my clients. That's
oh, we'll
like,
have
okay,
to share
here
that.
Here we go. Yes. And guess what's the most in that?
Fat or protein? Protein?
It's actually vegetables.
Okay. But, yes. We tried, Matt.
Yes.
We tried.
But no. Yeah, no. It's. I mean, they're all great for us, but the way we eat and how much we eat is very important as well. But, you know, we were taught growing up that there's things like whole grains that if we eat a bunch of pasta before a big game, we're going to have all this glucose to work with. But instead, it weighs us down, creates brain fog, and turns us lethargic. And no one ever told us that part, right? We just experienced it and thought that, oh, the pasta helped, must have worked, let's go. And that's not the piece. Whereas if we have, you know, for example, we get 9 calories from our fats, right? And we get 4 from carbohydrates. So why wouldn't we eat the thing that gives us the most energy before a big game or a big practice or a big training, and then not eat the thing that barely gives us energy, right?
Yeah, that's so fascinating.
Sounds like you're really trying to advertise for bacon.
Well, that's a whole other story. Talking about parasites.
Oh, no. Yeah, don't ruin it for me.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
So I was thinking, you shared how you're from the Midwest and food is such a big part of connection. What does it look like now when you spend time with your family? Because I imagine a lot of our listeners run into that when they're on a health journey, but their system isn't there yet.
Right. And that's such a good question. I run into that a lot, not only for myself, but for my clients and actually for family members. So you feel defeated because it's because of how strong that what you just said, as far as like the building of the relationships and the community and all that stuff, because that's so strong, it's almost like you just throw it out and try to go with them because you can't fight.
So people want connection. They want to fit in. And how do they do that if they're moving differently with food?
Right. Right. And I think, you know, it's getting there in the Midwest. It's inching its way in, which is amazing. And you know, things, as much as we demonize social media, there's a big piece of it that's helping people understand, like, whoa, there's not just what's going on in the Midwest. There's a lot more going on in mm-hmm. this world. But anyway, with that said, I try to teach people, and even myself, I have to reteach of like being the leader in that and going back and knowing what's good for you and just sticking with it and following that. Because Your family's still going to love you regardless of what you eat, yeah. right? Like, let's be real on that. Like, it's about being mentally strong and knowing that what you're putting in your body is for you and no one else.
You had to create a really internal motivation.
Right.
What would you say to people that really struggle with that, that really struggle with wanting to connect? And I don't know, what does it look like when you work with clients and their systems?
Yeah, so it's about right there. That question is about more moderation and really finding what is going to make you happy. Like, is it the family time that makes you happy? Is it the food? You know, are you feeling kind of left out because, or not social because you're not eating like them or drinking like them? And what is it that you can do that makes you feel a part of that? Is it that, you know, maybe you won't eat the dessert that's served and you'll still eat the pasta, you know, or something like that. Or is, you know, when you go out and maybe you'll have a drink that's soda water and a lime instead of, you know, a vodka soda or something like that. Like, how can you find pivoting that helps with promoting your health?
It's eating for nutrition. It's eating for your body.
Right.
Instead of, you know, living to eat.
Right.
And in the Midwest, probably more so than in other areas of the country. I'm also from the Midwest. Everything was revolved around eating.
Right.
Right. You come over to somebody's house, first thing they do is like bring you a cookie or they bring you something to snack on.
Yep.
And I remember people being impressed and they'd be like, Matt, you're such a good eater. We don't say that anywhere else, right?
Right? I don't
hear people say that in Denver.
That's so
right?
true.
I'm like, you're a good eater. And that was like some type of badge that we got to wear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And how do you have so much discipline and like that type of thing? But it's like in here in Colorado, it's so secondhand. You just do it. Like it's just part of your life. And it is, it's about what I like to say is it's eating for longevity, eating for optimal health, eating for longevity, because it is creating a more, you know, a more healthful life and a long life.
Yeah, so, that makes a lot of sense.
So when you get people, you go through the biofeedback piece, you get that understanding, you understand your clients from a cellular level, you understand their hormone imbalances. What does your process from there look like?
So depending on what people's goals are, I try to have a conversation with, you know, I do. I have an intake with them that I'm learning about them, their lifestyle, their goals, their cravings, everything, and then I'm getting their results. So when I present their results to them, I'm feeding into, you know, what their goals are and their lifestyle and what that looks like. So I try to, or I do, I break it down to simpler, more easy steps to where we're not taking everything on at the same time. Because if you get a, this is what your whole entire body is doing, and we got to change all of this stuff, like they're like,
that can be really overwhelming for
people.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Especially when you think about mental health. I know some of my clients were working on things and the last thing they want to touch is their diet, which what we're learning here today is if we touch our diet, it will actually help our mental health. But sometimes we just have to break it down for them.
What is that ratio of how much serotonin and dopamine is being created in the gut versus in the brain?
So most of our serotonin is actually created in our gut. So by feeding or eating foods that promote serotonin production, we're actually going to help with the neurotransmitters in our brain. So when we're eating foods that, and mostly, you know, fats and proteins, that they create a process in your body or in your brain that releases that serotonin, right? So, for instance, if we eat a pastry, we get that dopamine response.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I feel
yes,
so good.
I feel so good right now, right? So we created that dopamine. Now, when we eat fats and we eat meat, or animal-based products, then we do the same thing, but for serotonin. And we may or may not feel a difference, right? But we know that that's happening. And so the idea there is that, you know, the more, you know, 80% of the time we're eating towards that, we're going to have more mental clarity.
That's fascinating.
That's really cool. So what brought you to Colorado? You were in Florida and you started all this stuff. You did all your education, like, we know that you have a practice here and you're working here and you're seeing people here, but what brought you here? Why Colorado?
So originally I had started my business in Florida, moved back to Minnesota.
Oh.
And was there for another couple of years and decided that I needed to learn more about nutrition. I needed more. I was like, I'm helping people. This is great, but I just feel like I can go deeper with them. And there was a school out here, Nutrition Therapy Institute, that you could go in class full time and learn nutrition from a science basis. And so I went to I moved here to go to Nutrition Therapy Institute for a 2.5 year program.
Okay. And then you just stayed, you got
and
stuck
I stayed.
Here.
Yep.
Flat tire.
That's right. Yep. I stayed and just met some amazing people and worked at a really great clinic that I just, everything just kind of grew and grew and grew from there, just from moving out here and finding like-minded people. That was a huge piece.
That's awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
Do you have any big success stories that come into your mind that you'd like to share?
Yes. Yes. I have one. It's my all-time favorite. So this was actually when I started my business, but still in Minnesota. And I had a lady reach out to me that said that her 6-year-old daughter was bedridden. She wasn't going to kindergarten anymore because she couldn't get out of bed. And she was only having bowel movements once a month. And I was like, okay, can I take on a project like this? Like, holy cow, this is a lot. And through the biofeedback process, we had found that not only did she have multiple parasites, but she had a bacterial infection and a viral infection. So what was happening is what the background of this a little bit is that she had continually gotten mono as a kid. Mono, it got reinfected. And mono never really goes away. It just
goes dormant.
Dormant, yep. And then under stress, it gets activated again. And instead of, you know, doing something to help with the mono, it was getting treated with antibiotics. And for a six-year-old, multiple times of getting of antibiotics just destroying gut microbiome, right? So what happens is you have no good bacteria to fight anything off. And then you're in school or wherever outside, and you're constantly being bombarded, with toxins and viruses and bacteria and all these different things, and your body isn't strong enough to fight it off, right? So she just kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Well, when, like I said, when we tested her, we found these infections, and in fact, she couldn't eat food, like whole food. We had to blend up all her food so that she could actually digest and assimilate it. So we had to start there. We started, okay, first we need to get her nutrition and get her body so that she can actually get up and get out of bed. So we started on the nutrition side, and then we started with the detox side, and we started detoxing out parasites and, you know, reducing the stress of the mono. And eventually, she was able to get out of bed and start going to school. And within 2 weeks, she was able to have two bowel movements,
wow,
which is huge compared to where she was at. Well, I worked with her for about 8 months. And in that 8-month process, we got her back to school full time, participating and playing basketball, which she loved. And because she felt so good with the food she was eating, eventually we got her to whole food. She decided to start a garden at her elementary school, and so that her friends, her thought behind it was that her, so her friends could eat like her and feel good like her. And during that process, which is great, like amazing, they have this garden. Well, Michelle Obama decided to run a nationwide campaign where you would submit healthy recipes, a healthy pizza recipe. That would be the best, you know, if you won, you got a trip to the White House to meet her. Well, she won.
No way.
Yeah. So she was the little girl that went from Minnesota, which is awesome. And she got to meet a Michelle Obama. And they strictly said, you will not meet the president. It's just Michelle. Well, of course, he showed up and she got to meet him. So I've got this picture of all three of them together and her mom. And yeah, so that story's huge. Like, that is like, wow.
I love that. That is so cool.
Well, especially for such a little thing,
right,
to be bedridden, right, not going to school, not eating. That's insane how negatively she was impacted. But then you said 2 weeks.
Right.
2 weeks of fueling her body.
Yep.
And you started seeing improvement.
And what was the doctors doing before you got involved?
Antibiotics.
Just pure antibiotics.
Right. And mono is a virus.
So
it doesn't make any sense.
They're just keeping her gut microbiome from
being
flourishing.
And her immune system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. And for a little girl like that, they don't understand. They're like, why?
What's wrong with me?
Right.
We have such miseducation
around
nutrition in this country.
Right.
Right. I think a lot of it is beyond probably the scope of this podcast, but it's, you know, how do we grow our food? How do we fertilize and actually produce food that doesn't have micronutrients that we need, right? And so we're constantly in deficit and we're eating more and more just to get those micronutrients or try to get them, right? That's part of the story, isn't it?
That is. And that's exactly, it's so the spinach that we have now has 50% of the nutrients that it had back in the 1950s. So yes, we were talking about supplements earlier, and that's a big component. It's like we can't get all of the nutrients we need from our food anymore, and that's fact. I mean, our soil is just so depleted. And so supplements are a big portion of that, taken in the right way and from the right source. There's a lot of synthetic supplements out there, which don't really help us at all. It's a foreign invader in the body because it's synthetic. It was made up. And then there's food-based supplements that are helpful, and our body recognizes it and uses it.
That's amazing.
Do you think somebody can actually, in our country, just eat without taking any supplements and be healthy? Or do you think that's something that everybody needs to have a little bit of a supplement routine?
I think everybody needs to have a little bit of a supplement routine, as long as it's food-based supplements. So there's, you know, for example, there's two types of vitamin C. There's ascorbic and ascorbic. One's synthetic and one is food-based. Our body recognizes one and not the other, right? So vitamin C, we can eat all the berries and all the citrus as much as we can. But, you know, there's another component to that where we aren't getting all the nutrients from it, but then our sugar is going up and up and up and up. So it is about finding balance. And I think, you know, with this, not to go back to what I do and everything, but the biofeedback piece is a constant monitor of where your nutrients are at and helping you live an optimal life just by checks and balances.
How much do people differ when you do the testing?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So the neat part about this is there's colors that help us see if someone is in a stress state or in an optimal state. And so in the beginning, I do three of the tests total with working with someone. And through the process, we're trying to get all of the colors to be blue, right? So and the colors represent the amount of stress. And so if they're stressed, their body has. So if we, you know, in the very beginning, we might see that there's yellows and oranges and reds and there's some blue. We're trying to get to the all blue. And so the measurable results piece is, you know, when we are done working together, we're in the blue. We're given a diet that's going to help for longevity and some supplements that are going to help with creating that longevity as well.
That's amazing. So it's pretty incredible, you know, listening to your story. The first part, I mean, your personal story made such a difference for you. It inspired you to get into nutrition and inspired you to want to help people and share that. And then you did, and shoot, that little girl got to meet the President of the United States because you decided to work on yourself.
Right.
I mean, that's incredible,
that
right?
Is, yeah, when you say it like that.
Yeah, it's wild. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yes.
We really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure to hear it.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Voyage Cast. If you want to keep supporting what we're doing, please click the link for our Patreon in the description of this podcast. Also, remember to like and subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. We continually look forward to bringing you amazing content to solve all of your life's problems. Like Copenhagen, this podcast is a cure-all for warts, gingivitis, loneliness, and even heartbreak. You're welcome.